God spoke to my heart this morning. He said, last week you preached on making room for a move of God. He said, this week, he said, you'll make room for God to move. There's a difference. Sometimes you have to get things out of the way, but sometimes you have to add things to the house to maintain revival. Because the enemy knows if you sweep a house clean, but don't add to it, then you can't maintain a move of God. So a move of God and revival takes maintenance. It takes articles of authority. It takes a place and position for God to be God. You can't just keep moving things out of the way. Sometimes you have to add things to. And you have to make sure that things are in their proper position for stability to come. Any revival that you read about that lasted, that God used, that God moved, when flesh got in the way, it was all over with. And a lot of times, why would flesh get in the way? Well, ask Uzzah when he touched the ark. The presence of God was on the way in. But Uzzah thought that he would help a move of God. When it began to shake and he put his hands where it didn't belong. And when you touch the presence of God, then you start touching and trying to manhandle a move of God. And so I do believe that although that you make room for a move of God, we saw last week where the widow made room for a move of God. She emptied her house out. But then you go right on in the same chapter and you see where the woman of Shunem, the Shunammite woman, she made room for God to move. She made room for God to move. And so the two go hand in hand. You make room for a move of God, but then you have to make room for God to move. Does that make sense? And because there has to be maintenance, you have to maintain a move of God. You have to maintain revival. You can't just keep emptying the house out. Amen. But you have to add things to and place them in the proper position. I'm going to read out of the Amplified Version. I hope that you're okay with that tonight. We have some announcements. You've probably seen them rolling earlier. I believe that there's a men's meeting next Friday night. There's a ladies' meeting this Friday night. They have T-shirts for sale. You can see Sister Stacy for that. If you want to help with the clinic, you can see Sister Leah, Sister Stacy. If you want to help out front, see Brother Marcus or Sister Stacy to help there. The ladies will also be going tubing, and there will also be a Just One Singles Lady pool party at Sister Jessie Nolan's house, and you can also see Sister Tammy for the details on that. And so I'm sorry I didn't get to that earlier. If you don't have children signed up for the school, you can see Sister Michaela, Brother Marcus. They will point you in the right direction for that. This Sunday morning, we'll go back to two services, 8:30, 10:30, 5 p.m. for Sunday school, and 6 o'clock for our prayer meeting. Amen. Thank you for your faithfulness to give, and hope that I covered all the announcements. If I didn't, I'm sorry. I just feel impressed to get right to the word. Amen. I could have listened to worship all night, honestly. I just feel Jesus. But I believe what God has gave me. I don't know that I've just the word. When you just, sometimes you have to go through some stuff to see Jesus better. Sometimes you just have to go through some dry times to enjoy the times that the river flows. I don't know about y'all, but I'm telling you, I preached three services in Arkansas, and I couldn't feel God. I didn't see God. I couldn't even read the word right. I felt like the biggest failure. I'm telling you. I didn't even want to go back. And I looked at Nathan that last night in the altar and said, I don't blame you if you never have me back. I'm telling you. I said, I don't feel like I did anything right, said anything right. Couldn't even preach right. Never felt the anointing. Never got in the groove. I was ready to sit down and hide my face. But you have to go through those times. Because if it was easy, everybody'd be doing it. That's why 10 was healed and only one came back and fell at the feet of Jesus. And the other 9 got what they wanted and kept going. And so if it were easy, then everybody would be doing it. And so you just have to embrace the dry times too. You have to embrace the times that it feels like brass. And so if I'm going to embrace them, let me tell you tonight, I'm going to embrace while I'm seeing things in the Word. Amen. I'm going to embrace this season right now that I'm in. Amen. Because I just love the Word right now. Now, sometimes I don't love the Word. Amen. Word Wednesday. My God, I got to preach Word Wednesday. Let somebody else do it. Because I don't feel the Word right now. Amen. Y'all ever been there? Amen. I'm telling you, it's real. And so 2 Kings chapter 4, I'm going to read a lot. You don't have to stand tonight. I'm going to read most of this chapter. I'm going to pick up where I left off last week. Verse 8 is where we will be. One day Elisha went on to Shunem. Sometimes you just got to go on. Somebody say, come on, somebody. You just got to go on. Amen. Not much in Shunem, really. You know, not much there. But can I tell you, God and Jesus will go to Shunem. He'll go to Samaria. He'll go to a pool of Bethesda. He'll go to a 6x6 jail cell. He'll go visit Gritney at GFCC. He'll do whatever he's got to do to come see you. Amen. He'll do whatever he's got to do to come see me. Amen. There may not be much in Shunem, but he said, I'm going to go on there. Amen. Because there's a woman there. Amen. There's a woman that had a need in her life. And so one day, Elisha went on to Shunem, where a rich and influential woman lived, who insisted on his eating a meal. Afterward, whenever he passed by, he stopped there for a meal. You know, sometimes you just have to insist that God come see you. Amen. And she said to her husband, behold, now I perceive, my God, that this is a holy man of God who passes by continually. I could just stop right there because it messed me up today. Let us, now she's talking her husband into it. She just convinced him. Let us make a small chamber on the housetop and put there for him a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Then whenever he comes to us, he can go up the outside stairs and rest here. One day, you know, in Israel, they have stairs that would go up the side of the house up to the roof. And so that's how they even took the man, you know, and the four men carried the man. A lot of people say, well, how'd he get there? Well, they got stairs that would go up the outside of the house and they would go down through the roof. And so that's what he did. One day he came and he turned in the chamber and he lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to Gehazi, say now to her, you have been most painstakingly and reverently concerned for us. What is to be done for you? Would you like to be spoken for to the king or to the commander of the army? She answered, I dwell among my own people, and they're sufficient. She said, I don't need anything. I don't need there. Later, Elisha said, I bet he's pondering. She just wanted the presence of God. She didn't want anything else but the presence of God. Amen. That's all she wanted. She said, I live among my, I don't need anything. I just want you here. She was rich. She was influential. She didn't have any needs in her life. She just said, I want the presence of God in my house. I don't need you to do anything for me. Boy, isn't there freedom in that? I don't want you for anything, but just because I see Jesus in you, and when I'm around you, I see Jesus, I feel Jesus, I hear Jesus talk to me. I don't want anything from you. Everybody else may want something from you, but I don't need anything from you. I just want to be around you because you have the presence of God in you. She said, I live among my own people. I'm rich. I'm influential. My husband's got a great job. I don't need anything. I don't need anything. We got fields. We don't need anything. We're good. I just made room for you because when you're in my house, I feel Jesus. Amen. I just feel Jesus. And so she was okay. But later Elisha said, I bet he was pondering. Done had the prophet messed up because everybody needed him for something, right? Everybody was used to, when he showed up, well, what can I do for you? What have thine in thy house? Amen. And so I bet Elisha was pondering, what then is to be done for her? Gehazi answered, she has no child and her husband is old. Now listen to me. She didn't ask for a child because she was okay. But the prophet said, what can I do for her? So now the presence of God is in her house. And now God is probing. Can I tell you, whenever you invite the presence of God in your house, you just get ready because increase is coming. Amen. I said increase is coming. You may not even know why he's there, but he knows why I'm there. He knows the longing of that heart deep down. Amen. Don't you know there were some times that she went to bed and she just probably thought, man, I wish I could have a baby. Don't you bet she, but she probably just put that to rest. She didn't think nothing about it, but now the presence of God is in her house, and now the presence of God is going to begin to probe her and ask her, I wonder what she wants. So the servant, now listen to me, Gehazi's a type of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Y'all stay with me. So just say, Gehazi answered the servant of the prophet, she has no child and her husband is old. He said to her, call her. Gehazi called her, and she stood in the doorway. And Elisha said, at this season, when the time comes round. I think somebody said that this week. As this season, when the time comes around, you shall embrace a son. She said, no, my Lord. You man of God. Now, I don't know how she looked, but the Bible just says she stood in the door. You ever just kind of lackadaisical, somebody called for you, and you just kind of come stand like this? Me for. God said, what'd you call me for? And so you just kind of show up like this to God. Anybody ever done that? What's God want of me? I don't need anything. And so you're just standing there. Well, then he says, about this time next year, you're going to have. Now you kind of perk up a little bit. Do what? I'm going to have a son? Now it gets serious, don't it? Now you know a man of God's in your house. Amen. I just kind of showed up to the doorway. Amen. Now God says, through the man of God. Amen. Now you're going to have a son about this time. She said, oh, no, my Lord, you man of God, do not lie to your handmaid. But the woman conceived and bore a son at that season the following year, as Elisha had said to her. When the child had grown, he was 12 years old, he went out one day to his father with the reapers. But he said to his father, my head, my head. The man said to his servant, carry him to his mother. And when he was brought to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then he died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called to her husband and said, send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys, that I may go quickly to the man of God and come back again. And he said, why go to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. Isn't it just like somebody close to you to get in the way of a move of God? Amen. I tell you, people always try to mess up a move of God. And she said, it will be all right. Not everybody understands why you got to get to God. Amen. Then she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, ride fast. Do not slacken your pace for me unless I tell you. So she set out and came to the man of God on Mount Carmel. When the man of God saw her afar, he said to Gehazi, a servant, behold, yonder is the Shunammite. Run to meet her and say, it is well with you, well with your husband, well with the child? And she answered, it is well. When she came to the mountain, to the man of God, she clung to his feet. Gehazi came to thrust her away, but the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is bitter and vexed within her, and the Lord has hid it from me and has not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up your loins and take my staff in your hand and go lay my staff on the face of the child. If you meet any man, do not salute him. If he salutes you, do not answer him. The mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as my soul lives, I will not leave you. And he arose and he followed her. Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff on the child's face, but the boy neither spoke nor heard. So he went back to meet Elisha and said to him, the child is not awakened. When Elisha arrived in the house, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. So we went in, and he shut the door on the two of them and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child, put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself on him and embraced him, and the child's flesh became warm. Then he returned and he walked in the house to and fro. He went up again and he stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times and then opened his eyes. Then Elisha called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her. And when she came, he said, take up your son. She came and fell at his feet, bowing herself to the ground. Then she took up her son and went out. And Elisha came back to Gilgal during the famine in the land. The sons of the prophets were sitting before him and said to his servant, sit on the big pot, cook pottage for the sons of the prophets. We'll stop right there. Let us pray. Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord. We honor you tonight, God. Lord, I ask you for a double portion of the anointing of the Holy Ghost tonight in this house, God. I ask you, Lord, that you speak to our hearts. I ask you, Jesus, that you would help us tonight, God. Help me, Lord, to relay and proclaim what I believe, God, that you would have your church to hear in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I just want to say a few things as I begin to prepare to preach what I believe that the Spirit of God has put in my heart to relay to us tonight. I believe last Sunday night, I believe that God shifted some things in our hearts. Amen. I just felt a moving of God in a different light, in a different way, in a different manner. And Wednesday night, I believe that we got different vessels, and I believe that some of that was placed in our homes by the will of God. Amen. I believe that everybody got exactly who God wanted to have. Amen. I just feel in my spirit right now that God is doing something new. Amen. I believe that last Sunday we brought a new cruise of salt and poured it in the water. And I believe that God said there's been some things that were barren, some things that have been birthed, but they wasn't coming to fruition. And I believe that God is going to bring those things to fruitfulness. Amen. I believe that. And so I say that to say this, that as a pastor, that I have to shepherd this flock, amen? And we have a responsibility. And I believe that God has anointed and called this church to be a revival church. I believe that people come, and I believe that people go. I believe this church, God calls people here to be set free, to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I know that a lot of people's going to come, and a lot of people's going to go. But somebody's got to stay to help maintain the move of God, amen? That's just the way that it is, amen? And so I believe that God wants to teach us tonight this maintenance on the purpose and the moving and the presence of God. Amen. So I just titled this message tonight. I believe that God gave this to me. Last week we made room for a move of God. This week we're going to make room for God to move. And I subtitled it something like this, maintaining the presence of God, making proper preparation for a resurrection. Making proper preparation for a resurrection. And I just want to talk to you about a few things tonight. And the first thing that I want to talk to you about tonight is that we must acknowledge the anointing. We must acknowledge the anointing. Amen. You see, here's a well-to-do woman. This woman, she has no needs in her life. Amen. Verse 8 says that one day Elisha went on to Shunem, where a rich and influential woman lived. But she insisted on feeding this man of God. You see, this woman then looked to her husband in verse 9, and she said to her husband, "Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God." You see, she acknowledged the anointing that was upon the prophet Elisha. Can I tell you this, that this woman didn't need anything in her life, but she wanted to be in the presence of God. Can I tell you that if you and I, we have to take acknowledgement of the anointing that is on people's lives. Amen. And here's what I want to say tonight, is that she realized so much that God was giving her an opportunity as he passed by. Amen. Can I tell you that if this woman was going to gain access into the anointing, that she had to invite the prophet into her house. Amen. You see, in the Old Testament, the only way to allow and be brought into the anointing, it was through a prophet or through the priest. Amen. Because Jesus was not there. And so when he come walking by, then she acknowledged the anointing or the presence of God that was upon this man's life. Amen. And so I believe that as this prophet would pass by her house from time to time, that she acknowledged this man was a man of God, no doubt. Amen. I believe when he came walking by, she probably saw the presence of God. She saw the mantle of God that fell down from Elijah, and now it's upon Elisha. Amen. The Bible says back in the earlier chapters of 2 Kings, when that mantle fell, amen, that the sons of the prophets there, they said the same spirit that was on Elijah is now upon Elisha. Amen. And so now this woman of Shunem, when this man came walking by, she saw the same mantle that was on the prophet Elijah was now on Elisha. Amen. So she took acknowledgement of that. Amen. She acknowledged the presence of God. She realized so much that God was giving her an opportunity as he passed by. And can I tell you, I believe that God has anointed Grace Fellowship Christian Church. Amen. And I believe that we're in a season and in a moment right now that just like the woman of God recognized that the man of God came walking by, she felt the anointing. She saw the anointing. She saw the mantle that was fresh that had fallen from heaven. There was nothing else there that Elijah left but the mantle. I believe that there's been a new mantle that has fallen from heaven in GFCC right now in this church. And I tell you this one thing tonight, church, it would be a shame if we didn't wake up and acknowledge the presence of God that is in this house right now. Amen. I felt it in worship. I felt it since last Sunday. And I can tell you, I kind of feel like the woman of Shunem. I feel like God is passing by. And if you can't open up your eyes and recognize and realize and take acknowledgement of the anointing that is fresh, that is right, that is real, and that is new. I believe a new cruise came into this house about 2 weeks ago. I believe bitter waters began to be healed. I believe when salt began to be poured in, I believe that a fresh mantle from heaven fell in this house. Hallelujah. I feel that. I believe it. And this woman knew that. Listen, I believe as a church, I mean, man, things have been great. We're building a new church. This woman was well-rounded. She was influential. She had money. She had everything. Can I tell you, she had life made. She was married. You know, she was okay. She said, "I live among my own people. I don't need anything, but I want the presence of God." Can I tell you, sometimes you can do everything in the world but miss out on the presence of God, and you've missed it all. I can tell you, I believe there's been a fresh visitation of the presence of God in this church. And I take acknowledgement of that, Brother David. I can tell you this, I'm scared to let it just pass by and me not take notice of it, what God's doing. Amen. You may not have been there in the dark, lonely night, but I've been there lately, sir. I've been there lately, sister. I know all about it. And so I'm going to wake up and realize and recognize that there's been a new fresh mantle. It's fallen from heaven down in this house. And I take acknowledgement of the anointing of God that's here. Hallelujah. I see it, saith. I feel it. I know it. I know it. I know it. I don't need anything else in my life. I need the presence of God. I need the presence of God. That woman didn't need anything else in her life, but she needed the presence of God. She said, "I live among, I don't need anything." Even the prophet was like, huh, began to ponder later, he said. She realized so much that God was giving her an opportunity as he was passing by. Let me tell you this, don't miss your moment. Because the prophet's passing by. I'm telling you. I feel it in me personally. I don't know about you. You may be where I just came out of, and I understand. But I'm telling you, no matter where you are, don't miss your moment. Because I'm telling you, the prophet's passing by. I'm telling you, the anointed one is passing by. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Christ. He is the anointed one. Amen. I could just see her and her husband baking their meals and have their house and living it up. But I can tell you, the presence of God was walking by. I can tell you, that woman took notice and she went to her husband. She said, hey, you see that man right there? There's something different about him. I see that man. Oh, it's fresh. Boy, I feel something whenever he walks by my house. I can't even cook a meal right. Every time I'm cooking and that man walks by, I just want to invite him into my house. Well, I wonder what's going on. I can tell you what's going on, sir. I can tell you what's going on, ma'am. There's an anointing that's on that man. There's been a mantle that fell from heaven. He's the presence of God. And if you want him to come in, you better get ready, because the anointing gives access to the supernatural. How many times has the presence of God walked by us and we missed it? Because it didn't look like I look. Because it didn't talk like I talk. Because it didn't dress how I dress. And I was too busy in my rich little living, cooking my grub. But I can tell you, the anointed one was walking by. He said he went to Shunem. He said he went on to Shunem. I can tell you why. He knew there's a woman in Shunem. There's a woman about to talk to her hubby and shoot him. Amen. You see, that woman took notice. Oh, when this man came by, I believe she went running to her husband. And she said, you see that man right there? I don't know what it is about him. Every time he comes by, baby, there's something about him. We got to get that man in our house. Amen. Can I tell you, it wasn't perversion. It was the presence of an almighty God. Can I tell you this one thing tonight, church? It is the presence of God that is in our midst. Listen, she didn't want to miss her moment. She realized that perhaps although her life was good, that God had better. Listen, I just heard this today, and I don't know what this even really means, but this is for somebody. Maybe your reality isn't God's reality for your life. Maybe your reality isn't God's reality for your life. Because she was rich, she was influential, she was married. She was probably got over being content, not never having a baby. Her husband had fields. He had a job. They were okay. But can I tell you, that wasn't God's reality for her. She was all right with everything about life. She didn't even go ask the prophet of God for a baby. Oh, but God said, I'm fixing to do something greater. Because if the presence of God ever gets in your house, it's fixing to unlock the supernatural. It's going to begin to unlock things you didn't even ask for. Things that you thought you buried a long time ago. When that anointing gets in, it's about to unlock everything. Woo! Hey! You just got to get that anointing in. Woo. Maybe your reality isn't God's reality for your life. Listen to this. Leonard Ravenhill said this, the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized in the lifetime of the opportunity. My God. You see, there it was with her. I'm going to read that again. The opportunity of a lifetime must be seized in the lifetime of the opportunity. Seize the moment. It may never pass this way again. Ooh. What if the prophet never passes by through GFCC again? What if what I experienced tonight, I feel Jesus. What if you never feel him again after tonight? What if you don't? What if you miss your moment tonight in this house when the prophet comes by because you're too content with life? You're too busy and you're seeing, and the prophet's walking by tonight. You see the mantle, you know it's there, but you don't invite him in and make room for him. Because the only way to gain access to the anointing was through the prophet. So she knew if anything in my life's ever going to get unlocked, I got to get him in here. I got to get him in my house. So we got to do whatever it takes to get him here. I'm going to cook for him, boy, and he's going to like it. And once I ever cook for him one time, he's going to want to stop by here all the time. When's the last time you made something for Jesus? You just made Jesus just stop by your house. Amen. Can I tell you that even Jesus, you don't have to do anything special. Can I tell you the woman at Samaria? My God. He's drawn to weakness. I said, Jesus is drawn to weakness. Well, I've been married 5 times, and the man that I'm living with right now, I'm not even married. Oh, Jesus said, I must go. Yeah. I must go. I must go there. Oh, I smell the wound. Oh, I smell the weakness. Oh, that woman, I smell it, and Jesus is waiting on her. I bet the heart of Jesus was pounding out of his chest. She'd come in the middle of the day where nobody would see her, and Jesus was probably saying, I can't wait. Because she's fixing to drop her water pot. She's not going to need that pail anymore because I'm fixing to put living water on the inside of her. She came with a water pail, but she's about to become the water pail. Amen. I believe some of you is going to leave the water pot at the door tonight. Amen. And because Jesus is going to put living water in you. Can I tell you, Jesus never wants to leave weakness. As a matter of fact, I read to some of our people yesterday, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He's attracted to our weakness. And he becomes a habitation. He said, if you'll just boast in your infirmities, oh, I love it. If you'll just boast in your weaknesses, oh, I love it. I'll never leave you. I'll just cover you with power and authority and with grace. If you'll boast all the more in your infirmities and your necessities, he said, I'll be right there with you. But the moment that you think you can do this life on your own, I will oppose you. That's right. But as long as you can stay weak, oh, I'm right there with you. I got you. I'm attracted to your weakness. I'm attracted to your brokenness. I promise you, if we'll just begin to make room for him to move, amen, God will move in and God will begin to move. But the moment you think you can do this life on your own is the moment he'll pack his bags and he'll find somebody else that says, I need him. I'm broken without him. I can't live life on my own. Can I tell you, Jesus is attracted to your weaknesses. He said he's near the brokenhearted. So we must ask ourselves, are we making preparations of this move of God? We need to recognize that it's not just a one-time move, but an ongoing move. Therefore, adjustments, my God, must be made in our lives to receive it and maintain. I said adjustments must be made. Anybody ever see a where they need to make some adjustments for God to move? Well, I got some things out of place. It'd be easier just to get rid of everything, but maybe God just wants to put a new bulb in your lamp because your bulb went out. Amen. Maybe your chair's a little lopsided. Maybe it's got a little dirt on it. He just wants to knock the dust off. So have you made the proper adjustments in our lives to receive revival and to maintain it? The second thing I want to tell you is access. Verse 9 and 10, and she said to her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God who passes by continually. I bet he was wearing them out. Don't you know every time he passed by, they're probably, my God, I got to get him in here. You ever had that person around your life? You just trying to hide, and they just kept coming around. They just kept knocking on the door. They just kept showing up. I mean, you can't get away from them. Amen. I mean, you try to go the other side of the world and somebody's there, you know, oh, my God, I can't even go to California without you there. You're just there. Amen. You can't hide. It's because God's got them hot on your heels. Let us make a small chamber. She done talked him into it now. On the housetop and put there for him a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Then whenever he comes to us, he can go up the outside stairs and rest here. And verse 11 said, one day he came and he turned in the chamber and he lay there. My God. The second thing I want to talk to you about, after acknowledging the anointing, now you have to give access to the anointing. Now you got to make a room. We must remember, in order to gain access to the anointing and the presence of God, you had to go through the prophet or the priest. So for her to speak to her husband, she was saying, we are making room or giving access for the anointing in our home to release the seed of the supernatural that she wasn't even looking for. Does that make sense to anybody? I'm going to read that again. We must remember, in order to gain access to the anointing and the presence of God, you had to go through the prophet or priest. So for her to speak to her husband, I recognize the anointing on his life. Now let us make him a room. And in this room, it's not going to be shabby. We're going to have a chair. We're going to have a lamp. We're going to have a table. And we're going to have a bed. We're going to make the proper provisions for the prophet of God. If you're going to house and give access to the anointing, then you better be ready to maintain it. If you're going to be a revival church, then guess what, church, GFCC? You better be prepared to host revival. Amen. You better be prepared to host revival. Because I can tell you, revival gets messy, but we're too busy removing the mark of revival. Come on. But here's what happened. She was giving access for the anointing in their home to release the seed of the supernatural that she didn't even know she had need of. You have to give access. And when you give access to the anointing, then you have to protect that. Let us make a room. Can I tell you what this woman did? And I know and I love this church because I believe that God began to teach us this. But Matthew 10:41 speaks that if you want to receive the reward of the prophet, then you have to honor the prophet. Somebody said the other day, and we were just talking, and you know, I was like, you know, if a person was a doctor but they're retired, what do you still call them? Call them a doctor. If you know coaches that were in your life, but they're not a coach today, what do you still call them? You still call them coach. Well, why in the world, if we knew somebody at some point was a pastor or an evangelist, why wouldn't we still honor the office that God had called them into? Why do we honor coaches and doctors and lawyers and sheriffs? Amen. If I see Dennis Lee on the street, what do you call him?
Hey, sheriff.
He's not the sheriff anymore. But we still call him a sheriff. Why? Because we're honoring the office that he once held. So why don't we do that with people that are in position of high authority in the kingdom of God? But we'll just abuse them. We'll walk all over them. We'll just call them sir, ma'am, or maybe brother, maybe sister, maybe. Just maybe. But if not, we'll call them our friend. And so we have no esteem or honor for people of God. But yet we want to receive honor. But we want to receive the reward, but we don't want to honor the prophet that has the reward that we want. Well, I'd love to have what they got, but you can't stand the person that you want what they got. You talk about them behind their back. And all they are, they were a friend to you, and you abuse their friendship. Because you didn't give them right to authority in your life to speak into your life because they were your friend. You never looked at them with any authority or any honor in your life. Because they were just a friend. They were on the same level of you. Now at the foot of the cross they are. But in the kingdom of God, and God looks down and he says, hey, there's spiritual authority in your life. I'm not being arrogant. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Amen. And I promise you that if you'll learn to honor, I promise you that God will begin to invest great and mighty things into your life. Amen. Listen, in our flesh, none of us are worthy of honor. But let me tell you, the position of God is. Amen. The position of God is. Listen to this. John Bevere wrote a book about the honor's reward. Jensen Franklin said in this book, honor unlocks promotion, favor, and success in this life and in the life to come. And everything that I just said, you'll see that earlier in this chapter where the widow woman, her husband died, but he honored the prophet. My God. The Bible says that he hid the prophets in caves when Jezebel came. And so now that even he's dead, but he gave honor to the prophet, so now God's given honor to his wife and the sons. Woo. Can I tell you, so God was promoting them. What should have looked like death to them is now promotion to them. It unlocked promotion. It unlocked life, not only then, now, but the life to come. Amen. Can I tell you, whenever you honor, God will give honor back to you, and you will receive the reward of the prophet. Amen. And so here's this woman. She sees the anointing upon the prophet's life. Why are you even saying this, Pastor? Because they had to honor the anointing on his life. And when they honored that, they invited the prophet into their house, and now they're about to receive the reward of the prophet. Are you hearing me? Whew. See, the prophet's fixing to release something in that woman's bosom. She just lackadaisical just shows up because the prophet asked for her. What you need, sir? I know the presence of God's on your life, but now he's calling for her. Well, I just come up. Now, I don't know if she did that, but it says she just came and stood in the door. Amen. See, if I stand in the door, you really don't have all of me.
That's right.
Are you hearing me? Right. I'm kind of halfway in. The Bible, is that what the Bible says? It says she stood in the doorway. Is that what it says? She stood in the doorway. So it's kind of like you got half my attention, but probably not all my attention.
Come on.
Are you hearing me? Anybody ever done that?
Yeah.
Like somebody calls for you, and it's like I came from this side, and so I got something to do over here, but you're on this side, so I'll meet you somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
I'm hurrying to get back here. Yeah. Well, now there's fixing to be a reward, least of supernatural seed from the prophet. So now she's fixing to receive the reward of the prophet, and she don't even know it. But she gave honor to the man of God when he passed by and made him a room and said, hey, we're going to make room for God to move.
Yeah.
But they don't even know what God's fixing to do. Can I tell you, she just honored him when he passed by. She honored the anointing. She honored the presence of God. And now the prophet's fixing to release reward. My God. Whew. So here she is, kind of lackadaisical, standing in the doorway. And the prophet says, about this time next year, whew, uh-oh. Now reward's coming into her. Now I'm receiving because I gave honor. Now I'm receiving the reward of the prophet. Can I tell you, church, if we'll begin to honor, you don't even have to like somebody. Can I tell you, David submitted to Saul. Even when Saul was trying to kill him, even David came up behind him with a piece of his garment, said, look at here. Look at here. Pastor Lee Shipp wrote in one of his books, looking, I forget what it is about, he never turned anybody away. He said David was more like Jesus when he held the garment and he told Saul, I could have killed you, than when he stood in the face of Goliath and brought him down. Can I tell you, he was more Christ-like in that moment. Amen. Can I tell you that David taught us how to honor? You don't even have to like somebody. You don't even have to love somebody. Amen. But I'm telling you, if you'll honor them, then God will bring you higher and increase will come to your life. Amen. So her and her husband gave access to the anointing, and now the anointing is given access of the reward into their life. Jesus. I'm telling you, church, I want to receive the prophet's reward. I want to give the anointing access. The anointing gives access for the supernatural of God to move in my life. When the prophet speaks to her and says, when this is done for her, Gehazi answered and said, no child and her husband is old. He said to her, call her. Gehazi called her and stood in the doorway. Elisha said, at this season, when the time comes round, you shall embrace a son. She said, no, my Lord, you man of God, do not lie to your handmaid. But the woman conceived and bore a son at that season the following year, as Elisha had said to her. She just received the prophet's reward. And I'm telling you, I believe God is going to release supernatural seed in this church tonight. I believe that this season that we're in right now, I don't want to miss a moment. I don't want to miss the moving of God. I don't want to miss the meeting of the mantle. I believe just now. I know we had a meeting of the mantle in February, but I believe just now that mantle's fell down in this house. I believe that. I believe them men of God came and preached, and I believe there was a mantle that has fallen from heaven right now. Amen. And I believe that it is in our midst. Listen to this. Listen to this. So God, she received the prophet's reward. Can I tell you that her place of preparation would become her place of resurrection? I said her place of preparation would become her place of resurrection. Now listen to this. I put stars by this. I hope somebody gets a hold of this. You will never know the benefits of revival on the backside if you never push through by faith on the front side. You will never know the benefits of revival on the backside if you never push through by faith on the front side. Here's what a lot of us say. I see that man passing by, but he's just normal Joe Blow. So we don't give any access to the anointing. We don't honor anybody. They're just another man. No, that's God walking by. God's trying to stir something up on the inside of you and say, build a room. Build a room. Build a room. Make room for God to move. Make room for God to move. Don't you know that every time that man passed by, can I tell you, but many of us are so carnally minded that we don't even know the benefits of revival on the backside because we never give God time on the front side. It's just another man. It's just another day. It's just another church service at GFCC. No telling what Jared's going to say. They're probably going to sing for 2 hours. And I got a long night, and it's Wednesday night, and it's Word Wednesday. And I can't. You know what? The devil was tormenting me the last 3 weeks because people quit coming because we sing too long and they preach too long and everything else about the house. And I'm like, my God, I begin to fight with myself. I begin to war inside. And Sunday night, I finally just got along with God right here. And God said, Jared, don't be distracted or distorted by voices. I've anointed you and I've appointed you over this house. He said, look not left and look not right. He said, I've called you to this house for this time and for this season. And I can tell you this, church. He said that we are to be an Ehud church. Ehud was a left-handed man in a right-handed generation. And God said, we're not going to do things the way everybody else does things. We're going to deal with the devil. We're going to prophesy. We're going to preach. We're going to praise, and we're going to worship God. And when God gets done, then God gets done. Amen. I like where we're going. Brother Mike told me last night, he said there was a lot of days at Fallen Water. He said they went home with the roosters crowing. He said they'd been preaching all night, had been praying all night, had been praising all night. He said, and when they got up and went home, he said the daylight was coming up and the roosters were crowing. He said people were saved, people were healed, people were baptized in the Holy Ghost. Nobody was worried about what time that it was. Church, I don't know about you. I don't want to miss my moment. God's passing by this house. I'm ready for an old time move, Pentecostal fire, brimstone. God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd let so many things distract me. Well, do this, do that, do this. Better just do what God says. Better do what God says. God told me to announce last Wednesday night. Only have one service on Sunday. I said, God, people's going to be mad. They're going to leave the church. He said, he already told me Tuesday night. He said, you won't be able to preach what I want you to preach 2 times. He said, you won't. He told me that Tuesday. But I was afraid to come before you and say it. And I'm tired of you controlling my life. I'm tired of people controlling my life. Honestly, I'm tired of man controlling my life. God's the one that steers the ship. Amen. God steers that boat. God knows me better than I know me. Amen. Here I am going to band through it and preach that message twice. You can't. You know, tell them what would have happened. I was trying to govern the ship. I'm telling you, church, I'm tired of it. Tired of it. Jesus. I shared this last week. The essence of revival is obedience. And I just put in parentheses, the Holy Ghost told me, build the room. Build the room. That word essence means fragrance. Build the room where people can smell Jesus. Build the room where people can experience Jesus. Build the room where people can see Jesus. Build the room where people can know Jesus. And when you build the room, it may not make sense. Why are we going to invite the stranger in my house? That's the problem with the anointing, and it is very strange to the church in this hour. People don't want to lose control. And I'm not talking about being wacko. I'm talking about we want to navigate a lot of times the way God moves. But I can tell you the anointing will mess everything up. The anointing will put seed and birth things in you. Whoa. I wasn't looking for. I didn't ask for a baby. Now this man shows up in my house and I'm just in the doorway. Now he tells me about this time next year you're going to give birth and you done conceived. I didn't want that ministry. I didn't want a pastor. I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to be a pastor's wife. I didn't want to be in youth ministry. I didn't want to lead worship. I wanted to work at the state. I didn't want to leave my job. I don't want to leave things. I like stuff. But then the prophet shows up and the anointing's in your house now. What you gonna do? He's fixing to start speaking. Conception is fixing to start taking place. Because let me tell you, when Jesus is in the house, let me tell you, seed's going to be sown. The essence of revival is obedience. God told me to tell this house, build the room. Build the room. If that's a room in your heart, if that's a room on your house, if that's a room in this house, if that's a room in your neighbor's house, if that's a room in your man cave or your woman cave, Miss Virginia, God said, build a room. Build a room. Build a place. Listen. And when you build a room for God to move, there has to be articles of authority of maintaining revival. The first thing you do is build the room. You must have a place where God can move. Make room for God to move. Can I tell you when revival takes place? Can I tell you the first thing the enemy is going to do is wear you out? Amen. The enemy loves to wear us out. I see God moving. Well, I'm tired. And so, what is our instinct? I can't let nobody know how tired I am. I'm going to be strong today.
That's true.
I'm going to be strong today. You ain't going to know how tired I am. You ain't going to know I'm struggling. But boy, hell is wearing me out. I shared with them yesterday. He said, Paul seen the third heaven. He saw visions and dreams. And so in order for Paul not to become arrogant and prideful in everything God showed him, he said, I've sent a messenger of Satan to buffet you. See, God has access to all that. He has access, and he told Peter, he said, Satan's going to sift you as wheat. You see, Peter didn't realize what was in Peter. So Jesus said, I know what's in you, but I'm going to let Satan show you what's in you. And so Jesus gave access for Satan to sift Job and to deal with Job. And so now Paul, Jesus said, he said, there's been a messenger of Satan sent to you, and he's going to buffet you. And if you look up that word buffet, it literally means to be in a boxing ring. And it literally means to take a hit to the jaw. And I don't know about you, but sometimes that devil just comes and busts me right in my mouth. I ain't going to lie. And sometimes I get sick and tired of the devil just popping me in my mouth. Why does he hit us in our mouth? Because we're a mouthpiece to God. And every time I open my mouth, what does the devil do? Bow. He hits me right in the mouth. He said, but I've sent a messenger of Satan to do that to you. I'm going to allow that devil to hit you in your mouth. Boom, boom. What is his purpose? To wear us out. Keep your mouth shut. Don't say a thing. But he says, but my grace is sufficient. He said, I begged the Lord three times to get this thing out of me. But what did he say? God wouldn't do it. God wasn't mad at him. God just said, I'm fixing to get better out of you. Because grace gets the good out of us. Amen. You see, grace gets the good out of us. You see, it wouldn't have been grace to take the thorn away. It wouldn't have been grace to take the messenger away. But let me tell you what grace does. Grace says, that devil hit me in my mouth, but I got up. And that devil hit me on the other side, but I kept going. And I kept going, and I kept going. Can I tell you now, that's when you see the grace of God evident working in somebody's life. You see, the problem is a lot of times when God begins to move, when we begin to see revelations, when we begin to see revival in our life, the enemy's agenda is to wear out the saints. And then the enemy moves in and says, don't you dare tell anybody how tired you are, how the devil's wearing you out, how bloody your face is. You better wipe that off. You better let not nobody see any wounds in your life. See that speck of blood? You better try everything in that mirror before you go to church. Don't you dare let anybody know what's going on in you. But you just got your honey whipped before you got in church. Now you show up a hypocrite. You liar. Can't even worship God. Ain't been to an altar in 10 years because you're afraid to tell somebody what's really going on. You're afraid. Religion's told you a lie. Religion's told you you can't talk to nobody. You can't trust nobody. Oh, because they judge you. How long you going to deal with that? Well, I don't want to keep dealing with it, I promise you. I don't want these thoughts, I promise you. But every time I get up, boom, that devil hits me. You see, the enemy's agenda is to wear out the saints. And so why? Listen, they know the anointing on that. Can I tell you, church, we have a responsibility to protect the anointing that we see on our leadership and in this church. And can I tell you, one of the greatest things that we can do in protection of that is help give our leadership a rest. Be Aaron and hers. The first thing they put in that house was a bed. Can I tell you that whenever you walk in the authority and the anointing of God, there is a supernatural rest that you can possess. That bed there is a type and a shadow of the rest that we are to have in Christ. If you are going to live the life of revival, there must be seasons and times that you take a break and that you rest. Brother Clendenin said one of the most spiritual things that you can do is take a nap. He says one of the most spiritual things you can do is take a nap. How about that? So the first thing they put there in that house was a bed. The enemy wants you to keep going. So then the enemy's agenda is to put you down where you don't get back up. The enemy's agenda is to taint your mind so you just be hospitalized and in a sane asylum. The enemy's agenda is to put you in a nursing home where you'll never come out. The enemy's agenda is to get you bedridden so that you can't do anything for the glory of God. And so why did they know whenever this man turned in, the first thing we're going to put here is a bed so that he can go in there and take a break and that he can get rest? Because the Bible says that he asked for a double portion anointing. And if he's going to do double what Elijah did, then don't you know hell's going to fight him at every turn? Don't you know people's going to talk about him at every turn? Don't you know that the moment that he begins to lay hands on the sick, the moment that he took that mantle off and the waters parted for him. Don't you know that the moment that the creditor came and them two boys didn't go to bondage, but instead they went free and they were used to the glory of God? Don't you know when oil began to move in that house? Don't you know that Satan began to move in? So the first thing they knew they better do was put a bed there for the man of God to lay down and rest. Can I tell you one of the most spiritual things we can do is rest in Christ. We have to rest. Don't get so busy. Don't get so busy that we don't take breaks and rest. Now stay with me, what I'm about to say, and I mean this with every fiber of my being. Places of bed, not everybody's allowed there because it gives room for intimacy. gives room for intimacy. Can I tell you, when you rest, you have to be intimate with Jesus. You see, a lot of people will lay down and take a nap, but they don't get intimate with Jesus. We don't spend time in the Word. We just kind of lay down and we get a quick nap and we just get up and we go again just to feel a little bit better. Can I tell you, that bed also represents intimacy. You have to stay close to Jesus. If we're going to maintain revival, you have to stay intimate with Christ and you must remain close to Jesus. Amen? The second thing they put in that house, are you still with me? The second thing they put in that house was a table. Can I tell you, table is a type of fellowship and divine visitation. My God. Can I tell you, some things go on and take place at a table. What happened? I got you. All right. We're about to have a divine visitation, weren't we? Amen. Can I tell you, some things only take place here. Remember when Melvin Sanchez was here and he said, some things you talk about at the dinner table with your family that you don't talk about nowhere else. See, some things you just talk. And he said, at the dinner table, he said, now daddy's not up here over. He said, now we're all on the same level. Can I tell you, whenever you sit down, Jesus sits down there with you. Can I tell you, he said, if you'll open the door and come in, he said, I'll sup with you. Amen. Can I tell you, sometimes you just got to sit down at the table and you just got to fellowship and you just got to break bread with Jesus. Amen. And in those times and in those places, divine intervention, can I tell you, divine visitation is going to come to those places. I love in the morning just getting up, Brother David, and just pulling up to my dinner table right there. Amen. I know it may be made to eat on, but there's where my Bibles are. Amen. Even if I go in there in my office, today I was in my office. Can I tell you what I was writing on? I was sitting at a table. Can I tell you, I believe there was a divine visitation that came down in that office today. Amen. I was reading about the prophet coming by. Brother Russell's out there putting lights up, and I just felt the Holy Ghost hit me, and I felt God say to me, how many times did the prophet of God go by, and we just let him keep walking? But I heard God say tonight in this house, it's somebody's going to give access for the anointing to come in. Somebody's going to make room. Somebody's going to sit down at the table. Somebody's going to find fellowship tonight. Somebody's going to break bread. Somebody's going to come in and sup with him. Somebody's going to experience a divine visitation from the Holy One tonight. Amen. The third thing they put in that chair, in that room, was a chair. Can I tell you what the chair represents? It is a type of the throne. It is a type that Jesus is there. That throne is a place of authority. Can I tell you and ask you tonight, what does a chair do? Well, I almost fell out of it. But can I tell you, this chair has four legs. Can I tell you, it is a foundation for me to sit on. The foundation holds us up. Can I tell you, the throne of God, if you're on the throne, then you're going to fall. But if Jesus is there, it'll hold you up. It'll sustain you. It'll keep you. And authority will be in your life. We got to make a room for God. Woo. That lamp. Will you turn them lights off right there? Just right out here. Let's see, I got you. How about that? Boy, howdy. That'll do, won't it, Brother Justin? That's good enough. That light, it may be dark everywhere, but where the anointing is. I said, somebody done made room. Hey, everything may be dark around you, but oh, when the prophet turns in, brother, amen, there's a place to rest, there's a place to visit, there's a place of fellowship, there's a place of authority. But can I tell you, when I'm in my rightful place and Jesus is on the throne of my heart and I have visitation with the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, when I'm resting right, when I'm doing right by God, I'm not burnt out, wore out. Can I tell you, there's a light, it shines out. It may be dark everywhere else, but there's a lamp in my room. There's a place in my room for Jesus to move. And you may be in darkness, but when you pass by, you're going to see fresh oil flowing out of my life. Now, they didn't have electricity. They had oil in the lamp, and the oil had to stay in the lamp for the fire to be burning. Somebody needs to know tonight, we got to let our light so shine before men so that people might see Christ in our life. Are you ready, GFCC, to build a room for God to move?
may be dark everywhere, but you see where the anointing is. You see where the anointing is, don't you? You see that word, don't you? Look at there. Oh, yeah. You see the oil, don't you? Hallelujah. You see the rest, don't you? You see it. You see the mantle there. Oh, yeah. You know God's there. I'm telling you, you know the anointing in that house. Amen. I ain't calling my jacket alone. I'm just saying, it's all there. Amen. It's all there. Hallelujah. Well, who's in that house? I can tell you. Just look. Just look. Oh, that woman cooking that lunch. She took notice that God was walking by. This ain't just another day. This ain't just another moment. Oh, no. God's wanting to come in. The anointing's wanting to come in. The anointing's wanting to release some supernatural seed in my life. Amen. Can I tell you that lamp is a type and a shadow of Jesus. We are to be the light to a dark world. It illuminates the life and the revelation and the light and the majesty of Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen to me. We are too busy trying to keep the faults out that we never let the real end. I can tell you that whenever you feel the anointed one walking by, don't look at him too long. You may miss your moment. You may call him a devil. You may think a lot of things. They said the same thing about Jesus. They said the same thing about me. They said the same thing about some of you. I'm telling you, I don't want to miss my moment. When I feel God walking by, I want to make room for God to come in. I want to let my light shine. I want to have divine visitation. I want to rest in the Holy Ghost. I want to get up and I want to move forward with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you just a second about anointing. You got time? Hallelujah. The anointing. Hallelujah. How many of you know the anointing don't miss? The anointing don't miss. If you look up anointing, it means smear. It means spread. It means paint. If you were here during camp meeting, I've talked about the mantle is a type of anointing. And it means like you just begin to paint with a brush. Amen. And you know if somebody, you pay somebody a lot of money and that painter missed a spot, you'll go right to that spot. You missed there. You need to fix that. I paid you too much money. Well, can I tell you, Jesus don't miss. Amen. I can be preaching John 3:16 and you heard John 5:16. Amen. Amen. Because the anointing don't miss. Because Jesus has the paintbrush. He said, I know right where you are. I know right where you are. You know right where you are too. I got the brush. Amen. I know right where you are. That anointing knows right where you are. It don't miss. And so Jesus is the anointed one. He's the smeared one. Gethsemane is a place of crushing. Now, whenever the olive is crushed, oil don't come immediately out. There's a paste that comes out. And you take that paste and you put it in these like croaker sacks and they smear it. That's why the anointing is called smeared one. Because they take the olive and they smear it on this and then they take it and then they begin to press it. And then the pressing of the paste now begins to turn into oil. And there's three different presses. After the olive is crushed, then it goes through three different presses. And so can I tell you, the anointing don't miss. Whatever press you may be in, that anointing is fresh for your life. That anointing is fresh for your life tonight. Can I tell you, the anointing releases seed of revival. The anointing releases seed of revival. You ever heard somebody that just couldn't preach a lick, couldn't sing a lick, but the anointing of God was on their life, and every time they opened their mouth, you ever heard good speakers, but then you just heard somebody that was anointed? There was a big difference, wasn't there? Amen. That, I can tell you, the speaker moved you. But it touched me. Something by that anointing, it broke me. It changed me. Amen. It broke everything. Listen to this. I want to give you three things that the anointing did for this woman, can I? The first thing the anointing did for this woman was broke the stigma of barrenness. The first thing the anointing did for this woman was break the stigma of barrenness. And God sent me to this house to say to somebody tonight, some of you's barren. Barren means that your womb is dead. It cannot receive the seed. It rejects the seed. And in ancient times, there was a stigma upon your life. There was something wrong with you if you were a barren woman. They would look at you differently. And they would you would be an outcast if you were barren. Can I tell you, you know if somebody's barren in the house of God. You don't see any fruit coming from their life. Their disposition is barren. They don't want to receive the seed of Christ. They don't want to move forward. Can I tell you, this widow, this woman of Shunem, she just walked through the door. She wasn't asking for anything. She was barren. She said she couldn't have a child and her husband was old. Oh, but you wait till the prophet comes. Because he's fixing to release the anointing. And the reward is fixing to be released through the anointing. And it's about to break the stigma of barrenness in this woman's life. The Holy Ghost is about to release. And my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. God told me to come to this house tonight. And he told me to prophesy that some wounds, amen, were going to be open tonight. I'm not just talking about females. I'm talking about males. I'm talking about that place inside of you. Amen. Some of you's not been able to receive the seed. Some of you said, I want to walk with God. I want to work for God. I want to speak for God. But you have felt almost dead in your womb. Amen. You have not had the ability to receive. I believe God sent me to this house to release a fresh oil and to release an anointing that God said, just like the prophet did, that woman's womb was dead. She was barren. But when the anointing came and was released into that woman, it broke the stigma of barrenness and she received and then she conceived. And I believe that God sent me to this house to break the stigma of barrenness off ministries, off callings, off worship, off your family. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost off GFCC. We shall be no longer barren in any measure. Finances opened up. Our children shall come into the kingdom of God. Brother Michael. Hey, I believe this, Brother Lewis. I believe some of us have kind of just been standing casually in the doorway because we've just not known the answer. God sent me to release the answer tonight. It's the anointing of the Holy One. It's Jesus Christ, Brother Michael. Some of us have just been casually waiting on a move of God. But God said the prophet is going to speak. It's time to shut the door. It's time to receive the seed of Jesus. No more barrenness. It is broken tonight. We won't only receive, but we will conceive. And not only will we conceive, but we will press through and give birth. I believe we're about to see an increase of evangelists, of prophets, of preachers, of pastors, of ministries in this house. I speak and release, amen, over the school, Sister Michaela, right now, in Jesus' name. I feel like there's been somewhat of a holdup, but I believe the anointing is in this house. My God, I feel it. I feel breakthrough right now. I feel the Holy Ghost saying he's about to release seed supernaturally right now. Somebody step back there. Grab a hold of Brother Marcus right now. Just like you received that baby in your womb, GFCA, now, there is breakthrough. No more barrenness. No more barrenness. There's been somewhat of that devil try to discourage. Marcus and Michaela, your life in the natural is a type of this in the spiritual. You've not been able to quite put a finger on it. They said one thing. The doctor said that for 4 years you wouldn't be able to have this baby. Oh, but Atlas will reach the world. And I'm telling you, GFCA, it will reach the world. It won't just be in Holmes County. But I believe that even missionaries' children will begin to come to this school. And I believe just like Atlas will reach the world. I believe that I see an Atlas in the middle of this school. I see this school with an atlas right in the middle of it, and it's going to reach the world. And so no wonder hell would try to block it up. No wonder hell would try to stop it up. I feel a supernatural release right now. I believe the anointing is breaking the stigma of barrenness off finances, off authority over that school in Jesus' name. If you agree, intercede right now. Put your hands together and let's begin to praise God.